Hey, good morning. How are you all? I'm glad that you're out there. And if you want to just join us, appreciate you being there. I'd love to get texts from you. We still got some people. Anybody else come from parking lot? They're waiting in line to get in the door here at this building today. If you want to text me, let me know that you're here. I just welcome to Faith Springs Live. And we're going to sing some songs. And I'll put this here so I can see who. Here come some people. Beautiful. Oh, wow. Okay. And we're going to sing a little bit. Join us if you know. It's all these verses and songs that we know. So let me turn my microphone on. We're good to go. We actually had food this morning. Oh, I wasn't supposed to say that because you guys didn't. We did have food at the first service. What was I thinking? I believe that one. But it was really good. It was really good. No, but it really didn't taste good at all, did it? You're one of them. Thank you. Okay, this is what we need, not only as a people, but as a country. A revival. How about that? Coming now to thee. Coming now to thee, O Christ my Lord. Trusting only in his precious word. Let my humble prayer to thee be heard. And see great revival in my soul. Send the great revival in my soul. Send the great revival in my soul. Let the Holy Spirit come and take control. And send the great revival in my soul. Help me go for thee. Help me go for thee, dear Lord, today. There's a lonely soul that's gone astray. Help me lead them in the homeward way and see your revival in my soul. Send your revival in my soul. Send your revival in my soul. Let the Holy Spirit come and take control. And sing the great revival in my soul. Got another fast one here. Where's it at? Oh, I lost it. Oh, there it is. Okay. Sing the wondrous love of Jesus. Sing his mercy and his grace. In the mansion, bright and blessed, he'll prepare for us a place when we all rejoicing and will be. Oh, see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. Onward to the prize. Onward to the prize before us. Soon his beauty will behold. Soon the pearly gates will open. We shall tread streets of gold. We all get to heaven. What a day of rejoicing it will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout victory. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing it will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory.
It gives me a
Hope everybody's doing good. We don't have as large a crowd. We had a larger crowd than first service, so it's good to see everybody. I'll show them a little granddaughter off here in a minute. Want the world to see. And they're still pouring in from outside, so they're still pouring in. Here comes. I just want to check the phone to see if everybody's on. Are we good and going, Curtis? Yes, they are. Let's do one more, and then we'll take up the offering. Happy Father's Day to the Pampas. Got my. You get the granddaughter here. That doesn't get any better than that. That makes the whole day worthwhile right there. This one, I don't know why this song means so much to me, because I don't remember singing this in our church when I grew up. I don't remember this being a big one, but I do remember being in college at Southwest Baptist University in Ballard, Missouri, and the freshman year, Grady Nutt, the comedian, came and did our homecoming concert. And he sang this song, and I'll never forget how he sang it. Wasn't a good singer, Grady Nutt's a comedian, but just the purity. And when he sang it, it's like, wow. It just really had a whole new meaning. So as we sing this, I know you know it. Because there's going to be a day where we're all going to be together in our own little Bay Springs Baptist Church section in heaven. I don't know if it's going to be like that or not. There's a land that is fair today. And by faith. Have the ushers come forward, and we'll pick up the morning offering. We'll thank you all for what you do and you've given and your faithfulness. And in the middle of all of this stuff that's going on, you only need two, right? Yeah. Middle of all the craziness in the world, you guys are still faithful, and we appreciate that. You're getting ready to be a grandpa again.
Yes, any day now.
Any day now. So we're praying for Monica and Victor. And little baby Janie's going to be coming through. Is she overdue, I thought? Or is it this week she's actually due?
She's actually due this week.
Okay. We'll be praying for them and the safety and maybe Jane. That's going to be awesome. Jerry, if you would, just bless the offering, sir. Thank you.
Yes, please. Yeah, we follow. Thank you for this day. Thank you for this moment. Thank you for being Father of all fathers.
Amen.
Thank you for many blessings to bring upon your church family worldwide. For the brothers and sisters who come together in one spirit to give you the honor and the glory. Thank you for your grace. Thank you that we can give back, Father, with what you have blessed us with. And we just ask for blessings for all these giving and offerings. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Sing along with me.
I come to the garden alone. The solitude is still on the roses and the voice. Your Bibles, if you want to. You may want to turn to the book of Joshua. While you're doing that, I'm going to show off. She's going to make a special appearance tonight, but she's making a day appearance today. So this is her morning appearance. So I want to make sure we're on here so everybody in the world can. Hey, can you wave to the family out here? Say howdy. She's getting big, is she not? Getting big, adorable. You know, I love them in their 20s. Matt's, I think, 30, isn't he? Yeah, Matt turned 30. So my oldest is 30. That means I'm at least 35.
And but when they're this size, this is when it's really nice. It's really nice when you have grandkids too now. Because when you when you get fussy, we can hand you back to mom. Okay? But she can go make it, she's getting tired. She's gonna make an appearance tonight on the show. So if you have a chance to get on tonight at 8:00, Don and Doug Newsom there at the BBS Radio is going to have us on video and radio tonight at 8:00, at 9:00. Curtis is going to be the co-host, and we're going to talk about fatherhood and how bad I was at it, and the things I wish I could have done better and shouldn't have done that I did do, and it's going to kind of be raw and real, and Curtis is going to share some stuff, and the princess will make a special cameo appearance if she's feeling good and awake. Y'all glad to be here today? Okay. This is, I have to be honest with you. Make sure everybody's, I love when I go down through here and see everybody yawn. That's just awesome. I'm in my comfort zone as a pastor when I have what these, I think, 13 pages have. And in that 13 pages, I have on the back the exact outline, just in case I drop dead, somebody can come up and finish it for me, because you can just basically read it. Just push me to the side and keep on preaching. But this morning, I had a moment of being in the building by myself. And it was like, wait, this isn't what it's supposed to be today. And so I just spent some time at the piano playing and singing and asking God what I needed to hear. Because I think that's what I like to do in the sermons. I like to preach to myself, and you all just get to listen to where I have failed and I have needs, and God enters in. Hopefully those words. But there's times in our life that you have fear. And you don't all have to shout out, but I don't think I'm the only one that's ever felt fear before. You're afraid. And I'm not talking about being afraid of heights or being afraid of spiders or snakes. I mean, I don't like spiders or snakes. I'm not fond of heights, but... Yeah, don't bug me. Oh, she's fine. I love that. It's nice to hear a baby cry for been so long. I'm talking about an inner fear. When things happen in your life, you wonder, God, we know this, so hang with me as I process this. And this is probably completely different than this morning's sermon. But as we process this, God, I know you're there, but there's fear. Does that make sense to anybody else? That I know you're there. I believe it. I was brought up in a church. I know all the verses. I know all the places in the Bible to define. And you know, I pray. But there's still that inside of, I fear. And when we go into the Bible, I truly believe that this entire Bible is for study. And it's for preaching, teaching, learning, memorizing, working, and applying. So I think when you see Genesis 1:1 in the beginning, that 1:1 has a reason for us to be able to learn something from. So every verse in the Bible has a purpose for us to learn. Okay, and I believe the Old Testament has a reason for being in there. As a matter of fact, there's a verse, if you want to write this down, in 1 Corinthians 10:11, that tells us why the Old Testament is even there. Okay, and it goes like this. These things happen, 1 Corinthians 10:11. These things happen, talking about all those things in the Old Testament, to them as examples. So examples. So we can pull Even though it's not a Sunday school lesson, I believe I can look at the life of Noah and pull out an example of what I need to be able to do in my life. I believe I can look at the life of Adam and be able to use that as an example of what I need to do out of life. So everybody in the Old Testament is there for a reason, not just for historical value, but as an example to me of good and bad. So this verse confirms that. These things all happened to them as examples, and they were written down for warnings for us. So they can be an example for us, and it can also be a warning. Hey, wait, Samson, you keep doing the wrong thing, it's going to come back and bite you. You with me? So it's a warning. So you have something to show your grandkids or something one day. Hey, this is what happened to him. It was a warning. So there's a good and a bad. There's a consequence for our sin. And then it goes on to say, of whom the fulfillment of the ages has come. So it tells me that I can be able to pull out, and this 13-page sermon has five different biblical characters that we're going to pull out good things and bad things out of them. And you're going, ooh, wait, you got 5 points. Well, I shifted this morning at about 5:30, quarter to six this morning, to only one. I'm only going to talk about the one this morning, and that's in the book of Joshua. So I want you to turn there, if you would. You all found that already? Joshua? Joshua probably will go down in history as being a man that had great faith, that thought and voted when the majority voted the other way, that no matter what happens, I think we can take that the promise. Those guys are big, they're huge, but who was it? Joshua and Caleb came back with that 12 spy people group went out and spied out the promised land and came back, and those are the only two that said, I think we got this. So he's going to go down in history as being one of those guys that really stood on faith. He was fearless. He trusted in God. But I want you to look at chapter 1 in Joshua, and as you go through Joshua, you will see time after time after time where Joshua is alone, it's dark, and he's scared. Wait, that's not his resume. His resume says, you know, that he's got a plaque somewhere in heaven probably that says, hey, this is who he is. But there's times that he was. I just want to show you a couple of these. In Joshua 1:9, we'll find that here. Joshua 1:9, have I not commanded you to be strong and of good courage? Don't be afraid. Don't be dismayed. So these words were going to Joshua, knowing that you're doubting that when Moses was falling off the leadership and handed his mantle down to him, what's going to happen to me? I can't do this. I can't lead these people. So he was afraid. And that 1:9 says, I have not commanded you. Be strong and good courage. Don't be afraid. Do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. And then you jump all the way to chapter 8. Same man, same book, verse 1. And the Lord said to Joshua, don't be afraid. Don't be dismayed. Take all the people of war with you and arise and go to Ai. See, I've given it to you, the hand of the king Ai, people of the city and the land. So he says right there as he opened up that chapter, don't be afraid. Turn to chapter 10, verse 25. Joshua repeats what God's saying to his people. Says, do not be afraid. Do not be dismayed. Be strong and of good courage, for thus the Lord will go and do to your enemies against whom you fight. So it goes on and on and on, and you can literally track Joshua's days of good days, bad days, good days, and bad days. And I don't know about anybody else, but do you have those where one day you're high on the hog and think, hey, man, God is so good. And then the next day somebody will say something will happen. You look at your bank account and somehow you had forgot that withdrawal was coming out on that day. And the bank calls and goes, oh, you know, you're in the hole or whatever. Or you walk into your office and you notice that other people's desks are starting to be carried out. You go, oh, am I next? And you have all this faith in the world but you're still afraid. Well, let you know I have those days. In this story, in chapter 5, this is another one of those elements in Joshua's life where he literally, so chapter 5 of Joshua, he literally comes up to this place that is a fortress, that has a wall, has a city with a wall completely around it. And Joshua goes up to this wall and goes, okay, you're expecting me with what I have to take this city? Are you kidding? And I would imagine that night, he's sitting if TV's not good, he turns the TV off and sitting there in the dark in his tent going, I can't imagine reception being very good there in the desert anyway. So he probably wouldn't get good TV channels anyway. But sitting there alone, all of a sudden going, okay, God, I know where you want me to go. How are you going to get me through this one? And that fear slips back in. Now, don't tell me that you haven't all been there. Brought up in church. Got saved when you was 5 or whatever. Was baptized 8 times. 5, 8, 13, whatever. And you've been all of this, and you know every story, and you have the scripture memorized like the back of your hand. But there's those days, and the night, and the darkness starts to fall, and fear enters into your heart. And I think right now, what's going on in our country, what's going on in our streets, isn't anger-based. I think it's fear-based. I think it's fear. No matter what is going on. Our country is absolutely just at dismay. And when you're afraid and you're painted into a corner, you're going to come out fighting. And we get in those modes all the time. So I want you to see this in Joshua, but I want you to see how God gets him through this, just like he's going to get you through whatever you're afraid of, okay? In your own personal life, isn't it amazing that we can turn to doubt, fear, and question right after God has answered prayer after prayer after prayer? You got to remember, Joshua, he got firsthand witnessing of all of that stuff that happened. All of those miracles that happened with Moses and the parting of the Red Sea and the water out of the rock and the feeding, and where this literally manna was coming out of heaven every morning and they could eat. You got to see all of that. Isn't it interesting that even though fear hits us and it comes into our minds and our hearts, we tend to forget what God's done for us in the past? That we always forget, well, God, I'm scared. And God's up there going, hey, wait, Greg. Don't you remember how I got you through last year at this time? Don't you remember how I got you through that surgery? Don't you remember when you had open heart surgery when you was 46? I got you through that. I haven't let you go hungry. Look at your gut. You got some extra tonnage on you. Don't you remember and understand that? Don't you understand how I got you from that job to this job, from Illinois to Missouri to Texas? Don't you understand and see my hand in all of this stuff? And then I want to focus on the here and now, when Joshua needed to focus on everything, but he forgot, just like we do, how far God's brought us, how many prayers God has answered us for us. But isn't it true, though, if you have a prayer right now that's not answered, what do? We doubt. We wonder. We question. Well, God, aren't you going to answer this? And I would love at that moment, and I think maybe in heaven we'll get to do this, love at that moment for God to go a little screen off to the side. Him just put every answered prayer that he's ever had in our life just come up for us to refer to. And we say, God, are you not hearing me? I don't feel like my prayers are leaving this room. Am I the only one that prays like that? Am I the one that ever wonders, am I alone? Wouldn't it be awesome if God could just remind us every prayer he's ever answered? And it's there. It's that we are so minute that we want to focus on the here and now, and we forget all those times that he got us through those hard times. If you're afraid, chances are you're forgetting something. If you have fear in your life right now, chances are you're forgetting how God got you through something that he has already done. How has God answered prayer in your life? How has God taken care of you in your life? When there was another time, there was no way out. You were facing something beyond your own ability to be able to handle that. And you asked God, and he came through for you. Matter of fact, there's prayers in my life that before I said amen, God already provided the answer. I didn't even get the sentence done, and God answered. He's done that for you. He's done that for each of us. So do you have that fear in you sometimes? Or am I the only one that sets a home alone every now and then and go, I don't know. And Joshua wasn't alone. I'm not alone. But sometimes you feel alone. I have a whole chapter in the new book that's coming out. I'm talking about how we feel alone in a crowded room. Because you can be in a crowded room and you still feel absolutely by yourself. And there's a way through that process. Sometimes I forget that. And God is always there with us. And we need to take an inventory every time the fear enters into our lives. And everybody out there too, that there's something that you're scared of, that you're worried about, and you just don't think God's going to help you through it. Take an inventory of how God has got you through all the problems that you've been in your life already. He will get you through this one too. Keep praying and being faithful to him. Now, the neat thing about this is that Joshua chapter 5, verse 13. Joshua was alone. Joshua was probably kind of afraid. It was another one of those days. It's another one of those moments in time. They said, I don't know if I can pull this off or not. And I think I probably should have wrote that in. Those times when I don't think I can pull it off myself or not is probably the times that God's up there going, ding, ding, ding. Isn't that the $64,000 question? Can you do this yourself? No, I can't, God. You're right. You can't. So let me. I don't need a co-pilot, Greg. I don't need your advice. Just trust me, and I'll get you through it. Just trust me. Depend on me. Lean on me. And I'll make your way through all of that wilderness just like I have in the past. I'll do it again. And an angel shows up. And chapter 5, verse 13, I want you to see it. Go ahead and look at this. Trust me, online. Get on your own Bible, so let's check this out. And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho. This is the face-off, remember? This is the wall. This is the city. This is the song, folks. Okay, Joshua fought the battle of Jericho. You know, we know this. Okay, this is the moment. This is the climax of the show, all right? You've waited through the movie for 2.5 hours. You're waiting for this moment in time. And Joshua's standing there looking at the wall going, I just don't know. And all of a sudden, he sees a man. And the man has a sword. Okay, read along. I'm not making this up. Read along with me. Joshua lifted his eyes and looked, and behold, a man stood opposite him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went up to him and said, are you for us or are you our adversary? Are you for us or against us? And I love this. If you've got an expensive Bible that has commentary in the Bible or in the bottom, or you go home and look it up on the internet, this is an appearance of Jesus Christ in the Old Testament. Jesus comes on the scene. He appears as this person with a sword, and Joshua goes up to him and says, are you for me or against me? I want to make sure who I'm battling here. And I love the response, because it's the same response that I need today when I'm afraid. God, are you really with me or not? I don't understand. Am I doing something wrong? I've had people that call me and email me and text me or whatever and say, Greg, what have I done to deserve what I'm going through? Wrong. It's called life. It's called life. Those doubts, those fears, all of that stuff, those insecurities, it's called life. All you got to do is recognize who's in charge. And Joshua, in the presence of Jesus himself, says, okay, and it says he went up to him. I can't wait to see this DVD. So Joshua goes up to him and says, are you on my side or on the other side? Are you my friend or are you my enemy? And I love the response. I'm the commander. I'm here to take over. I'm in charge. That is what I need to fall into today. When you have the fear and the wonder and the questions and the doubts and the insecurities and the loneliness and all of those questions, it goes, I don't know what I'm going to do about this. And it's blank and you're filling in all the blanks that you have. Depend on him. He literally says, no, but as a commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come. He's basically saying, I am the one in charge of this entire battle. What did Joshua do? Say, no, I don't think so. I'm out of here. I'm in charge. Do you not see my name tag? Did you not see my name on the sign? Do you not see my business card? It says senior pastor. And God says, no, you just think you are. I'm in charge. Joshua immediately got offended and went home, right? Next verse. He fell on his face. You are God. I love that. He fell on his face to the earth and worshiped him and said, what does my Lord say to his servant? What do you want me to do? And I love that. So he's against the battle. He's against the wall. He's kind of alone, kind of dark, kind of wondering if he still has another fight left in him. Do you ever feel that way? You think, I wonder if I have one more left. Am I going to die on this one? I just wonder if I can battle through another one. I swear, if I'm lying, I'm dying. Every church building that I build, when they hand me the keys, I inside my spirit say, this is my last one. I said that after my first one. I said that after my second, my third, fourth, and fifth, this being the sixth. I'm going to say it again. This is my last one, but I'm smart enough to know there's going to be a lot more after this one. I know there's going to be. It's like, I just don't know if I have enough to get through another one. And God says, that's good. I'm in charge. You're not. Relax in me. So what are you fearful of? What are you afraid of? What are you trying to win on your own? How are you trying to get through it? Because right here, the Lord comes on the scene and he literally says, let me just use this, literally says, hey, I have the game plan. This is what you need to do. And he hands it to him. This is how you need to take this city. I want you to do this. I want you to lead. And go around the city. How many times? Kids, you know how many times Joshua went around the city? Take a guess. Three? No?
Seven.
Okay. Seven times. And he was to lead the group that goes around that city of Jericho with what? What were they carrying? The Ark of the Covenant. And the Ark of the Covenant had contained in it the word of God. So he wanted to make sure, lead the group, do the obedience. And I love the way God does this. I love it even though it... Wouldn't once be enough? Wouldn't one time around be enough? Why seven? Naaman was the same way. Remember this? Naaman the leper? We just talked about this a couple weeks ago. I think I was still at home preaching when we did this one. Went up to, and the servant came out, and Elisha said, hey, go back home, dip yourself how many times in the water? Seven times? And I don't think it was a progressive healing. I think 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, he came up with the same amount of leprosy as he had each time. But the 7th, he came up perfectly clean. Why? Why can't God do you have to always make it a system? Because he wants us to depend on him. He wants to make sure you're not just in this for the easy fix. Because there's only one time, it wouldn't take much faith. If it was only one time, there wouldn't be the people standing out going, "Ha, you crazy fools, I see you out there walking around and making fun of them, throwing things at them, making jokes about them, and you know, making faces at them," all of that stuff. So each time, as they was walking around that city, that whole group, with that Ark of the Covenant in front of them, every time the crowds probably got bigger and bigger and bigger on the walls, making fun of, "Look at those crazy people. They're losers," and mocking them. But because of their faithfulness, because they led, and the reason to be led by the Ark of the Covenant was to signify that when we do something, you keep the faith, you're obedient to me, but you're obedient to me by depending on my word. That is the answer. There's nothing else that'll get us through the problems except this. And I keep hammering this, and you're probably going, "Greg, you just said that last week. Matter of fact, you said that the week before. Matter of fact, you said it 2 weeks. What's the problem here? Do you not think we understand?" Well, then why don't we start doing it? Because every time we slip into the fear mode, every time we slip into the doubt mode, is because we've taken our eyes off this. We know it's in there. Because if I had the same thing, and I've asked this 20 different times, if I honestly got you all in the same room in a big huddle and go, "How many people believe that if you read God's word more, if you pray to God more in your life, life is going to be better for you?" Every one of you will raise your hand. 90% of you will not increase one moment after you leave the building, even though you know it'll make your life better. Even though you know God will use you and be more powerful through you if you just read his word and talk to him more. But because we're so selfish, we're so self-centered, I want to sit around and have another Twinkie. I don't have time for God. I put God on the tail end, and I feel like it at the end of the day, I'll get to it. That's not the way God says. God says you lead in the battle with the word, and you keep going around and don't never let that word get at the tail end. It's always at the beginning. And then you always are praising me and worshiping me through that process. There was a map, a literal map of what he needed to do to be able to make it through this whole situation. And I love that the word was to be the focus. What barrier are you facing? What wall are you facing? And today you have the same kind of decision that Joshua has. You can fear your problem, or you can do what Joshua ends up doing. As you keep on reading the story, maybe when you get home, you can read chapter 5 and go all the way through chapter 8. That Joshua fears now, but his fear shifts to fearing the Lord. We don't fear the Lord enough. We take him as an old buddy, the big JC in the sky, and I hate that. He is the God, Jehovah, Jireh, Messiah, Creator, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and he is worthy of that respect that we should have from him. Because when we're in his presence, we will not even be able to stand on our feet. We're going to be flat on our face. How dare us go to him and just whippingly say something about him and then start praying to him at night and never get to amen because we're too not in love enough with him to actually have finished the conversation. We fall asleep. How dare us treat God that way? But Joshua saw the light, and his fear for the wall, his fear for the enemy, turned into the fear of the Lord and in awe of him. Fear the Lord, not the problem. There's a scripture you can write down in Romans 8:31. Okay, just a couple minutes and we'll finish up. And I need this a lot in my life, and maybe you need it in your life. And maybe some of you here need it. If God's for us, who could be against us? When you fear the Lord, I want to let you know, you have nothing else to fear. Is the world scaring you? Is the COVID scaring you? Is the economic time scaring you? It shouldn't scare you. Concern maybe, but not scare, not fear. God's in charge. Why are you afraid of something that can come and just hurt the body? You ought to be afraid of the one that can take the soul. And that's God himself. So that's where it all ought to be. And I just love these other scriptures that I want to read to you on fear, and you can write these down. In Matthew 14:27, it says, "Take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid." Psalm 56:3. "When I'm afraid, I put my trust in you." I want to look this one up. Mark, I want to make sure I got this right. Mark 5:36. I'm marked on here. Mark 5:36. "As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said to the ruler of the synagogue, 'Don't be afraid, only believe.'" That's pretty powerful. Don't be afraid, just believe. Then Psalm 118, verse 6 says, "The Lord is with us. I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me?" Psalm 118, verse 6. Why don't you write this famous quote down, if you would? And I think you'll be able to use this as we close this out, because I think this is important. We think that courage, having that strength that maybe somebody like Joshua or our leadership does, or maybe a commander in a great army, a MacArthur or somebody like that, that's known in history of it, you know, never being afraid, just a man of courage or a woman of courage or whatever. But this is a good way to look at this. Courage is not in the absence of fear. So you can still be courageous and still have fear. Courage is not the absence of fear. It's the ability to be able to face it, to overcome it, and to finish the job. I like that. When fear knocks, answer the door with faith. When fear is knocking on your heart, answer the door with faith. Stop being afraid of what could go wrong in life and start thinking about what can go right. And the last one, you can write this down too, is never let fear decide and guide the future. And I think a lot of times we get in that mode. And I want to be honest, I get in this mode every now and then, and it's not pretty, but I think when you're alone, sometimes the house gets really big, the darkness gets really dark, your voice gets really loud, and you don't think ears hear it. And I needed this word today. Not probably the 8:30 one, but this one. I don't even know what I said at the 8:30 one. Because you're going to be afraid again. You're going to be in a situation where you go, "God, I just don't know how you're going to get me through this." But trust in him, because he'll be able to do that. He is in charge. If he has to send a spiritual angel to you, or the right verse, or have these verses when in doubt, we'll just say, "Oh man, you did it for Joshua. You're the same God of yesterday, today, and tomorrow. You're doing it for me too." And then depend on him to get you through those dark nights. Don't be afraid. This world is not out of control. It just seems like it. CNN, out of control. ABC News, out of control. Congress, crazily out of control. But this world is not. It's still in God's hands. He still holds every string of every person's life and heart right here. And if you think he's forgot about us, or forgot about you, or forgot about your mom, or your dad, or your son, or your daughter, or your wife, or your husband that's sick or dying or whatever, he has, he's right there. And how we respond can make all the difference on how the outcome of it takes place. Have faith in him and always keep the word of God in the lead and praising him quickly behind that. Okay? Let's have one prayer. Lord, I thank you for the day. Lord, I have no idea if people out there on the internet and listening to this online needed to hear any of this, but I needed to hear this. Don't have any idea, Lord, if anybody in this room needs to hear this. But I did. Lord, thank you for the stories that aren't just Sunday school stories with flannel boards, with a nice teacher telling us a story. It's a life lesson for us to understand. Lord, thank you for always being there in the dark. Thank you for always being there to dry our tears. Even when we cry out, Lord, are you not there? Are you not hearing? Lord, we know you are. Give us that extra gallon or two of fuel to get through those emotional days that are tough, like today for some people. Some people, this is not a good day. But Lord, thank you for dads. Thank you for being us an example to us. Thank you for loving me. God, thank you for disciplining me. If you didn't love me, you wouldn't discipline me. Thank you for showing me the way. We give you all the praise. Next time we fear, that we call on you. And remember, when we ask the question, are you here to help me or hurt me? And we can remember, I'm here to take over. We give you the praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Thank you all for coming today. Thank you all for joining us right here on Faith Springs Live. We want you to come back next week for another edition and be with us next week. Don't forget, tonight at 8 o'clock, we'll have a video session with Curtis and I. We're going to have a special Father's Day video on breaking the silence. And we're going to talk about where I've messed up in life, what it's like to be raised by a dad that's been abused, and Curtis is going to share some things from his heart, and it's going to be a good time. So join with us tonight on Breaking the Silence. God bless you. Have a good week, and we'll talk to you soon. God bless.